Nation with Who1.co.uk presents the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast number 135. And with me this week are Mary Lang.
Hello.
Robert Haynes.
Hello.
Kirby Bartlett-Sloan.
Tea, a noxious infusion of oriental leaves containing a high percentage of toxic acid.
And we're waiting on Reese, but, well, hopefully he'll come on. And here we are, again. I have some notes this week. I have watched
notes.
It. Yeah,
dong, notes. Ding, dong.
And the notes go as follows. We're talking about The Awakening, by the way. Did everybody get a chance to see it? Apart from Reese, obviously.
Yep.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Good, 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 good. Right. Okay. I forgot who wrote it. Who wrote it?
Eric Pringle. I'll put it up here in just a second.
Eric Pringle.
Cheater. Is he like New York? You have to say his name twice.
No. Just that.
Is he very uniform potato chips?
Does he come in a can?
Mustache. And he's probably got a big moustache too, hasn't he?
Oh, of course, yes. Anyway, right, The Awakening, Part 1. Someone is looking for Ben, because
I've got some Pringles.
Oh, for God's sake.
See?
Start again. The Awakening, Part 1. Someone is looking for Ben, but he's at Ladbrokes.
Yes.
Some men arrive at the farm on horseback, dressed up in old-fashioned clothes. Miss Hamden finds Ben in a barn, but what's he doing there when he should be at Ladbrokes? She pleads with Sir George, because obviously next minute she's with Sir George, to stop the war games. But there's one last battle. Oops, I've gone too far down the
page.
Didn't
we already have some war games on this show a few years before?
Yes.
No, but we haven't reviewed that one. The Doctor is having a problem with a time distortion while Tegan wants to visit her grandfather. Why she's got a grandfather in Great Britain and not in Australia?
Well, probably on his mother's side,
And, of course, quite inconvenient for the plot as well. They arrive, but someone appears to be in danger, as they saw on the monitor. So the Doctor dashes out. Turlough notices that the time monitor says that they're in 1984, but the Doctor wanted to rescue a person who was dressed in old clothes. Suspicious.
This is one of those rare cases where they actually state the year.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean the actual year that this is
the actual
place?
Year? Yeah.
Yeah.
Sir George.
It was recorded in 1983.
It was. Sir George has closed off. Yes. Sir George has closed off the village. The Doctor, Tegan and Turlough are in a disused and decaying church. There is a crack in the wall.
It needs to go over to Amy's.
Yes. I was going to say, did this crack look familiar to anybody?
No, this is what was on the other side of the wall in the 11th hour, because we never really did get to see it, properly. This was what was on the other side.
But it was the same shape.
It looked like a prison.
It was the same shape. But no more the prison. But there were some bars. Maybe there was a sort of... Oh, never mind. I'm not going to go down that road. So there's a crack in the wall, and there's some smoke issuing from it. And I did make in brackets or notes saying, crack like Series 5.
Yeah.
The arch thing outside the church is like the one used in Visitation. I didn't see the notes that go with these classic series.
And that's the one that the horse ran through.
Yeah. Is it the same one? Was that...
Yes, mentioned? That's the one.
It is, of course.
Yes, that's the one.
So they've reused it for this. Prop.
No, it's not the same prop. I'm just saying it's the one that the horse
ran through. Yeah, the only one story was ever filmed in this particular town.
Oh, sorry. I thought that bit was in Visitation that was a BBC prop, that particular arch thing that was just put there, yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, the Doctor and co. are detained by Sir George. Tegan runs off and... runs off and slaps herself in the face with her handbag. Do you see that bit? She ran up against the wall and decided, I know what I'll do while running away. I'll slap myself in the face with my little red handbag, and then some X-ray vision hand comes around the side and just grabs it. So how the person behind the wall is able to see that she just happened to slap herself in the face with a handbag so he could nick it. Anyway, so the doctor then escapes by pushing some maps or whatever it is across the... Very cunning. Better than sonic screwdrivers.
Why not?
A strange half-dressed man appears in front of Tegan, and it wasn't Ben in his pyjamas.
it was Adam in his pyjamas.
It was a half-dressed sort of man in a very sort of skimpy clothes. And his body appears, then his head. That's really weird, because they didn't really return to that.
I know.
There's Reese. Reese is online.
I beg your pardon?
Reese is online.
Oh, shall I just say about time too to him? Hang on, we can pretend we're pretend we're at the end, can't we? Okay. Mind you, it wouldn't make any difference to him. He hasn't seen it.
True.
Okay. How do you know?
He said so, or a little bit earlier.
Hang on. He could have seen it between then and then.
Then and then.
And then. Call failed. Oh, no, that's for Alicia. You need to stop that part of Alicia.
Oh, I just thought we could have pretended we were watching Partners in Crime. Oh, curses.
I'm not going to fall for that now. I just heard you saying it.
I know you heard me saying it.
Good one, Adam.
Hello, Reese.
Hello.
Hello, Reese.
Glad you could make it.
Hello, Reese.
So am I, although I'll probably just have to sit here quietly until we get to the news or something.
Okay. Well, shut up then. Anyway, got past a strange half-dressed man, and then a strange man appears and disappears in front of the doctor. Lots of people sort of appearing and disappearing in this episode. In the church, the doctor hears
that was
a
the first doctor. Actually, did you know that?
What was
like the first doctor?
What
that half-naked man?
Did it?
That old man in the corner?
No, it didn't.
No, it didn't.
Yes, it does in a bad light.
In a very bad light, like with your eyes shut. Anyway, in the church, the doctor hears a battle, very loud battle, and then collapses with his hands over their ears. And then a boy fights his way through the polystyrene wall.
I found this very confusing because he looks so much like the one that appeared and took Tegan's handbag.
Yeah, it's true.
His eye was better, and so for the whole episode, I was confused as to who was who.
I remember being confused when I originally watched this particular story as to who that was. I was doubly confused by the fact he looked like he was about 32, yet he's supposed to be a young boy. And also I'm rather distracted by the way his mouth was curling up into funny shapes when he was trying to do the accent. And then later on, he gave up on that and just did the accent without the funny shaped mouth. His name is Will Chandler, and he was from 1643. Then Tegan and Turlough arrive. Sir George wants a May Queen, or a Queen of the May, and Miss Hamden implies that the tradition is to sacrifice the Queen of the May, and she threatens to go to the police. The Doctor deduces that an alien power source... I lost my place. Oh, yeah. An alien power source is creating these sort of psychic-y type projections. Were they psychic projections?
Yes, they were.
Yes,
psychic
projections. Yes.
From the past, and made some comment about them, some of them being solid projections. Because there's a great deal of power that whatever's causing this is able to draw from. Anyway, the Doctor shows Will gravestones to prove that he is in his own future, and Tegan and Turlough enter the TARDIS where something is appearing. Again, there's lots of things appearing. Will tells the Doctor of the Malice in a very sort of scaredy-cat sort of way.
Can I tell you I don't know whether this is a coincidence, but Malice in the Philippine language actually means bad luck.
Oh.
Yeah.
Do you reckon they got it from that?
Well, it could be related to it somewhat.
Yeah,
I guess.
Interesting, as a doctor would say.
He's just trying to be Kirby.
Anyway, the Doctor presses a picture of the Malice on the floor, and a secret entrance opens. Around about the same time that Miss Hamden presses something, and another secret entrance opens in the house.
Wasn't that so convenient?
Anyway, Tegan and Turlough split up just before Tegan gets arrested.
And no cobwebs or anything. It's amazing.
No, and also not written by Moffat, but maybe he got his sort of inspiration from this sort of story. Miss Hamden finds a secret passage and ends up meeting the Doctor and Will under the staircase. Tegan is forced to wear the May Queen outfit. Yes, you do. The Doctor finds some Ting Clavic from the planet Raga, and then mentions pterileptils.
I rather
it
like
looks more like he found a clump of Play-Doh.
Yes, silver Play-Doh. Yes.
Silver Play-Doh.
Or Play-Doh sprayed with silver paint.
I rather like when the guy tells Tegan, you know, well, you know, you're going to change into it or I'm going to do it for you. It's like, yes, please, please do.
Yeah, yeah. The funny thing about that metal, that it's quite an interesting idea because obviously you get mercury, which is a liquid metal, and you've got lead, which is fairly soft metal. There isn't actually on this planet anything in between, which you can sort of squeeze with your hands. So I wonder if there is some undiscovered metal in the universe somewhere that is that sort of consistency. You're all gone to sleep. I'll move on. Right. A spaceship crashed in 1643, and it was the Harkal probe, and that contained the Malice. The Doctor decides to tear the polystyrene church wall away for some strange reason.
You noticed that too.
And then the Doctor stands and starts getting smoked by the, well, obviously, what was the Malice. Miss Hampton then goes,
looks more like he was Doctor! Carbon
dioxide. Hang on, I haven't finished yet. I haven't finished yet. And then the beginning of the next episode, she went, Doctor!
Mm-hmm. No, it was the same length.
It was not. It was substantially shorter.
Because they tried to get her to scream in the key of the ending music.
How did they?
Gosh. And so that's why it sort of blend. You're probably imagining it longer because of the music. That's probably why.
No, they didn't.
But I think they should have cut the music a bit sooner. Rather than
it was so pathetic when she was going, Doctor! And then he sort of just steps out and sits down. Oh, you're right. No problem. Yeah. No, I'd make it up. As I said in my notes, massive overreaction from Miss Hamden. The Doctor's fine. The impressive Malice face pushes through the wall and a disfigured man appears, a disfigured woman, you know, with his face and that, appears carrying Tegan's handbag. Again,
and that
he's got Tegan's handbag. Yeah, the Malice face, yeah.
The Malice face is still in existence, too.
Somebody owns it, yes, one of the special features on the disc illustrates.
Mm. Well, some of us don't have a special features for our disc because we don't have a disc.
Am I supposed to feel sorry for it?
Some of us should, yes. Then.
Well, there you go. Anyway. Battle noises then scare. Be quiet. Battle noises then scare Will off. A projection of a ghost cavalier starts to materialise. Initially, I thought that was Sir George, but it wasn't. It was just a ghost cavalier.
But all dressed in silver.
You only realise it's not Sir George when they have the close up of him. Anyway, Turlough gets caught, and a ghost produces a sword. Now, in modern day BBC. Programs, it involves sword fighting. Every time a sword is drawn, you hear a shing noise. Or a shh. Yeah. But in this instance, it was just the sword. So,
see Merlin for proof.
Yeah, Merlin and Robin Hood, the most recent series of Robin Hood. You know, I don't know what all the other ones were. There was lots of the shing noises in Robin Hood. But never mind, moving on. Anyway, the ghost produces a sword and the Doctor says run. As usual. Turlough is thrown into a little sort of cell, I suppose you can call it a cell, where Tegan's granddad, Andrew Verney, well, it's a cell because it's got bars on it, Verney is residing. Now, that might be
a barn, though.
Yeah, it's obviously the prison. The prison that was at the other side of the crack.
And, you know, they're trying to break out of this, and they're using their shoulders, and they completely ignore that big tin of Jay's fluid that Turlough's
sitting on.
Don't
jump ahead in my notes. I will continue.
So it was still a little more sturdy than their shoulders.
Okay, I'll continue. The Doctor explains
to
Miss
Hamden... Well, the door's not sturdy.
I'll try and continue. The Doctor explains to Miss Hamden that the War Games are generating the psychic energy. Well, if that's the War Games, are an episode of Doctor Who starring Patrick Troughton, Fraser Hines and Wendy Padbury, so slightly mistaken there. But anyway, generating energy that is giving the Malice strength. don't quite understand how that works, but there you go. Apparently that's the case. Sir George must be stopped. Yeah, well, silly. Sir George must be stopped, otherwise it will destroy everything. And then there's a bit of product... Honestly, there's a bit of product placement as Turlo sits on a tub of Jay's fluid.
Now, yeah, I had to look that stuff up because we don't have that here.
Oh, I've got some of it. We use it for when the dogs wee out the side of the back door and it starts getting a bit smelly. So
I was reading about it. It sounds like it would be very useful.
It doesn't smell particularly nice, but it's nice. It smells nicer than dog wee. In fact, our next door neighbour complained about the fact that I was using, or Deb was using Jay's fluid to clean up dog wee. Oh, God, fed up with the smell of Jay's fluid. And we said, well, what would you rather have, dog wee or Jay's fluid? Yeah. Neither.
Oh, dog wee.
Anyway, are there any guards? Eh? Is that what, oh, that's where I'm at.
Yeah, that's,
oh,
that's what he
right,
says.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry. Turlo says, are there any guards? And then he goes, guards! Guards! In his typical Turlo guards shouting voice, because he does that in a few episodes.
Yeah.
What are you like as a battering ram, he asks. Not a very nice question. What's he like as a battering ram? Why doesn't the other chap pick up them and charge him at the door? Anyway, Miss Ham, it's a very good point, actually. It wasn't exactly majorly secure. A rackety old wooden barn. Surely the clever Andrew Verney could have figured out that it would be quite easy to break through the door, but never mind. Miss Hanman realises that the last battle in the War Games must be for real, so that I suppose that must be between the Doctor and the Time Lords when he gets sent, you know, Jamie and Zoe get sent back to their time zones. it took her long enough to realise that the last battle must be for real, and they've been talking about this. Suddenly she realised, oh, the last battle in the War Game must be a real one. But they've been talking about it there being a last battle for most of the episode. It's only now that she realises it's got to be a real one. But never mind. The Doctor tries to win over Sir George. The Colonel, that's Ben to you and me, is doubting Sir George and switches to over to the side of the Doctor. And he's been a bit sort of on the fence for most of the story up to this time. Tegan is driven off in a float. That's like a carnival float, rather like the one, well, actually down market like version of the one that Alicia was in. Alicia won.
Yeah,
similar
very
sort of idea.
Very much so, yes.
And then the Doctor finds Will sort of crouching down by a house. A fire has been set up. Well, I say fire, it's a pyre, really, isn't it? It's been set up around the maypole. Sorry. Mm-hmm. As they burn.
Very demons.
Because they're going to burn, obviously, Tegan, Queen of the May. Yeah, it was very demons. I did think of that. The Doctor is then arrested.
I still haven't seen demons, unfortunately.
Call yourself a Doctor Who fan?
Are you going to be saying that for the whole of this episode?
Yes.
Call yourself a Doctor Who fan?
I'm waiting for it to show up on Netflix, and then then I'm going to rent it, I'm going to watch it, and then I'm going to decide whether or not to add it. I'm sure I will
in Kirby's
to my
defense,
collection.
I'm not being funny,
in Kirby's defense, I haven't seen much.
Kirby.
Right.
I will say, although it's not the sort of thing you want to watch all the time, it is one of those classic stories, which is one of the musts for a Doctor Who collection.
Oh,
simply because
Ambassadors of Death.
Simply because of the brilliance of the Master, and the voice of the devil, you know,
and Bok
at the demon thing, and Bok and the Brigadier and the whole unit thing, and that and the BBC Three. There's just so much in it that makes it worth having.
All right, I'll start saving for it. Now, it was one of the first Target novelizations I ever bought.
Really?
So I know the story.
Barry Letts.
Mm. Yes. Anyway, moving on, back to the awakening. The Malice gets stronger.
I'm awake.
The float arrives with a dummy on it. Of course, the baby dropped it, and so that they picked up...
Took a long time
to sorry,
that,
do they call them soothers in America? I don't know, but anyway. The Colonel has betrayed Sir George, and he orders his men to kill him. Because he's a baddie.
Kill him!
Yes, kill him! Anyway, the Doctor escapes, thanks to to Ben, and after them! Typical sort of Doctor Who baddie statement again.
Yeah.
Screams the enraged Sir George. Turlo and Grandad escape. They meet up with the others at the church.
Grandfather!
Yeah. Okay. something is already inside the TARDIS. Its doors are open. Oh, who's the idiot who left the doors open? Tegan.
That would be Tegan.
Sorry.
What an idiot. Anyway, it is a little tiny Malice-y thing. It's so, oh,
it's
sweet.
It's kind of cool, actually.
It's very cool.
I liked it.
I like the way that it matches the color of the wall of the TARDIS as well.
It's too bad it had those terrible 80s pixel things.
Yes.
PC Micro.
They were so impressed with those little things in those days. But anyway, guards try to break in with a polystyrene stone. The way he picked it up, 1 minute it was really heavy.
He did a good job, though.
No, he started doing a good job, and then he sort of gave up halfway through picking it up and going to use it as a battering ram. Turlough and Grandad arrive in the church. Everybody stay perfectly calm and still, says the panicking doctor. I thought that was quite funny. The Malice gets rapidly stronger. The doctor blocks off his food supply by pressing some buttons on the TARDIS console, and it starts vomiting.
Yeah,
I thought that was quite funny. Tegan finally sees her granddad, and then three ghosts appear. A guard regains consciousness in the crypt. He staggers into the place where the doctor and everybody are under threat, and gets decapitated as the ghosts. And then the ghosts vanish. It was a lovely little scene, that. Ben tries to save Sir George from the Malice. The doctor tries to break the Malice control over Sir George. Doesn't do particularly well in that particularly. He had a bit of effort going on, but failed because Will ends up pushing Sir George into the Malice. And then during this scene, the doctor clearly channels the second doctor. I noticed in that bit. Has anybody noticed that? Very, very second doctor during the bit where he's trying to, he's pleading with St. George.
No.
Well, you weren't. Shut up, Reese. Well, watch it again and think of the second doctor, because he's very, very second doctor in that particular scene.
Anyway, how? Tell us more how he's... How.
It's just the way he was gestating and pleading with Sir George.
Gestating, was he? Or gesticulating?
Magic!
Sick!
Magic, come here.
No!
Magic!
No, please, no!
I like the way that how Miss Hampton really got into opening and closing the doors of the TARDIS.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, and the lovely look that Tegan gives her when she beats her to the... to the punch on closing the doors.
Was that... I haven't seen a whole lot of Fifth Doctor. Was that the standard lever through that time period to open and close the doors?
Come here, mate.
That was just from the... I think they changed it when they did the Five Doctors, because they had a new console then.
I know I read that there was an attempt in this period, probably around the Fifth Doctor, Five Doctors, to establish an exact location of certain controls on the console, so that everyone would be consistent.
Yeah. There was one like that, though, before, which was similar, but I think it had a round knob. This one was...
I remember the little toggle switch back
then. Don't start talking about knobs when Reese is in the room.
I didn't say it.
He didn't. You were the one.
Don't you mean you, Adam?
Magic is in a good mood today. You're lucky. He doesn't want to savage anybody. Oh, he's just going to flap his ears instead.
Sorry.
That was me. Sorry.
Anyway, the Malice knows it's lost and will destroy everything it can. But the Doctor implied in the previous scene that it will destroy everything. And just on this scene, it decides to add the words "it can." So it's gone from destroying everything... And then suddenly when it's just about to die, it's going to just destroy the church, basically, and itself. But anyway, they all get into the TARDIS and escape the church, which then explodes and collapses. And so now we've got a load of other people who are now official companions because they've travelled in the TARDIS.
Yes. Well, you know...
A simple little jaunt like that does not count.
Oh, okay. Right, okay.
It's like the...
Who are you calling simple?
It's like in Cold Blood, the director of the drill to the to the crust of the earth project. She's not a companion either, even though she traveled in the TARDIS.
Okay, if you say so. They all get into the TARDIS. They get into the TARDIS and escape while the church collapses and explodes. Everybody makes friends.
That was a very good effect.
Pardon?
One of the best effects in the story was when the doctor looking down that road after chasing that figure, and you see the church in the background, which was just a glass painting.
Yeah.
One of the most effective shots, wasn't it?
But yeah, I mean, the glass painting in this era was really, really good, yes. I totally agree. Good point. Good point. And then the tea gag that Kirby mentioned at the beginning of the episode was then the thing that ended this episode.
Funny. Except the doctor did say, I rather like it.
Yeah, he did. And just funny, ironic, because I'm currently drinking a cup of tea as we speak.
But I already had mine. But I did like the comment when Turlo says, I'd like that nice brown liquid they drink, and Will goes, hey,
diarrhea. Yeah. Oh, sorry. Mm-hmm. Where the blooming X-Miss speaker gone?
Yeah, there's some other pretty good quotes, like, you speak treason fluently.
Yes. That is a brilliant quote. It's one of my favorites.
And Turlo and Tegan, Turlo goes, we're running out of places to run. And Tegan goes, this is the story of our lives.
Yeah, another brilliant quote. I totally agree. It's an awesome, totally rubbish, this episode.
I think it was rubbish at all. I liked this one a lot.
I quite like
it. I liked it too.
Quick little. I'll have to take the mickey out of it.
Did anybody think that Jane and Will would have made good companions?
Absolutely.
Will
was considered to be a companion for. Apparently, he did so well that J&T considered making him a companion.
Oh.
And Sir George was also Dr. Findelman in Image of the Findal.
Yeah.
That's right, he was. Very good. I've forgotten that.
Wikipedia.
Well, I mean, Jane has something to contribute, but Will is so simple-minded, I can't imagine him as a companion.
He reminded me of
Jamie.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, it's a good point. It was quite Jamie-like, yes, I agree. But I'm not too sure. It's the first time that I've having, because I used to be a great fan of Tegan and Janet Fielding, it's the first time that I remember finding the character of Tegan a little bit irritating watching this particular episode. Whereas she used to be one of my favourites.
She was always irritating.
I didn't find her irritating.
No, I didn't. Watching this one, I found her a little bit irritating.
The actor who played Ben, Glenn... Houston, as I would say Houston. He was Professor Watson in Hand of Fear.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, yes, that's right.
Okay.
Sir George keeps pushing for these battles to happen, and he tells Tegan, you know, that she's like a really important part of something that's going to change the course of humankind. Does he ever elaborate on that?
No.
You're aware of, like, what is wonderful change?
No.
There's an awful lot unsaid in the story, but it moves along at such a brisk pace that it doesn't really matter. I mean, I wish that a lot of four-parters back in those days had been more tightly written like this one, because this was good.
Mm. It's about the same length as a modern-day one.
Yeah. It was. No, it's okay.
The reprises and that.
Yeah. I quite like this story, to be fair. I mean, I do. Obviously, the things you can take the mickey out of because of its time, and
as with anyone,
when you compare with it with now, but it was actually all right. You know, it was a quick little jaunt, and when it was originally shown, it was shown on two consecutive evenings, so it was over and done with very, very quickly.
Oh, it was during that period. Ah, I didn't realize that.
Was it Tuesday and Wednesdays, or Wednesday and Thursdays? Do you remember?
No, I don't remember. No, I don't know.
They're trying to ruin Doctor Who by not having it on Saturday.
It was 19th and 20th of January, 1984, anyway.
Okay, thank you for that.
Yeah, was it ever explained how Will got transported from 1643?
No, it's funny you should say that. Because
he was hiding. He says they mentioned something.
Yeah, the malice kind of created a temporal rift, and he was kind of held in it. He was in a priest hole.
I know he was in a priest hole, but I didn't get that bit about the temporal rift causing him to come along with the malice.
It was mentioned in passing.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's funny you should say about that, because right at the end, when obviously they're all in the TARDIS, and as I remembered, he got dropped back, but they didn't actually mention it to the next episode. next episode of Doctor Who about...
No, they mentioned Francis. That they were going to take him back.
Yeah, but they didn't actually... Yeah, he was still in the TARDIS when the episode ends, but I remember in my mind him...
Well, they all were, weren't they?
Yes, they were. Yes, because they were official companions. They could have had several little journeys with the Doctor and that. I know they said they were staying behind, but you never know. They could be a whole series of fan fiction that had all that lot as...
Or some big finishes.
Indeed. Good point. But anyway, has anybody got anything further to say on this particular classic story of Doctor Who? Apart from Reese. What do you think, Reese?
It was all right.
Excellent.
Yeah, I loved it when Sir George got pushed into the hole with the malice and the supposedly stone wall kind of wavered under him as he fell through.
Don't be picky.
she said she loved it, like, when it did that.
It did.
Yes,
indeed. Just keeping up, you know, classic Doctor Who, bad sets.
Yes, well, not always the case, but on that instance, yes, we have to concede that was the case. Now, is anybody, apart from you, Mary, having seen this for the first time?
This was my first time.
Okay, did you watch it just the once?
Who? Me? Yeah.
Who? Doctor.
I watched it twice.
Doctor. Who?
I watched it twice.
I didn't have time to watch it twice. Although I did skim it a second time.
Okay. I'm quite interested in the fact that you both seem to enjoy it. It was quite good. Quite pleased about that.
Yeah, there was enough in watching it the first time that I was confused about that I watched it a second time to, you know, look for explanations.
Did you get those explanations?
Well, no. Would I ask questions about? No. Okay, you know, like, I didn't know how Will got transported.
But there was a slight thing going on with this era of Doctor Who in which they tried to have a slight link from the previous story to the next story in each one. There was a mention of something going on at the beginning of the next episode, just to tie things up a little bit. The continuity
just like when, just like when Edric died at the start of, was it Time Flight, I think?
And also
something that was still said about his death and things like that.
It was a throwback to the Hartnell era when there was always just a continuation of each story.
They had a teaser for the next story,
Yeah,
this really brought back memories for me since, like I said on Facebook, I don't own this one. I borrowed a DVD which was burned from a VHS copy of the story. Mm-hmm. So I had no extras, no info text, no nothing, and it was fuzzy like old VHS tapes. And it's just like the way I used to watch Doctor Who in the mid-80s.
I'm never going to say bring those days back, because the only good thing about those days that we used to have to get together as a group of Doctor Who fans to watch them sometimes, which was always quite good fun.
Well, we'd go to conventions. I've mentioned this before. We'd go to conventions and hook together 4 to 6 VCRs and copy tapes.
Huh? Those were the days.
Moving on now to
the pirates of the 80s.
Emails, etc. I have. We've been told off on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast website, which is the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast .podbean.com. Somebody sent in a comment. Somebody called Sektos, in fact.
And who is this? This person?
Well, it doesn't state the gender. So I presume it might be male. Anyway, it says as follows. In terms of the angels and the farm, they clearly say that they are farming them, mention a nest, so I imagine this is to help with the breeding of cherubs, and sending them back over and over, rather than a one shot. They have them in the building, same reason, keep any cattle in pens, so they're easy to get to and can't run away. They didn't say PPL, that means people, I think, couldn't leave the city, though if one escaped, they are now controlling all the statues, so they'd zip them back to the hotel. I also imagine they just bring food to them. Really? Same way they set up doors to be automatic, the same with the lift. They also They, sorry, I'll start again. I'll start that line again. They also always have eyes on Liberty as it's so big and always in field of view. Yeah, so that
means, so
that means it can't move.
Mm. Yeah.
It isn't a paradox, something that can't happen or make logical sense. If he sees his older self, that's a time loop, just like with the book, destined to grow old in the building and one day see young self turn up just like the old detective at the start. It's Kyle from Terminator and Doctor from Series 5 finale with his fez and the broom. I'll accept that. It probably doesn't fall into the realm of paradox, but I'm just confused because if there's such a lot of energy involved in a paradox enough to kill the angels, I would have thought that it's more likely to be something they could feed on. But okay, like someone said last week, it's Moffat's creation, so Moffat has full control over it's the way it works or doesn't.
That's correct.
Yep. Well, anyway, and I don't get the bit about sending them back over and over because they say in the story that you live the rest of your life in that room. So I mean, where are they sending you if you're there all the time?
I presume that would only be
don't
the once.
Think about it.
It's time energy. I told you, Robert. He's here ready for you, so don't mess me around.
Magic.
Right. It's time energy, so no paradox energy. Angels eats. This is. I'm reading it word for word. I didn't. Pardon? Did he?
Sorry.
Did he swear then?
Clapping your ears.
Oh, sorry.
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 Right, I'll start that sentence again. It's time energy, no paradox energy, angels eats. The time they leave behind in the present up to when they were originally meant to die. So that's the energy they eat, that's what he's saying, which is true, that's what Moffat says. The paradox undid everything, transported them back to cemetery, tied casually according to Doctor. And I'm reading it word for word, so it might sound a bit confusing. Everyone else killed by the angels probably were brought back as well. I accept that to be the case.
So it's like wiping the slate clean.
Yes, apart from this survivor. I mean, I prefer to go along with Robert's idea of the fact that this angel wasn't actually connected with the rest of the angels in the story. It just happened to be one that was sort of hanging around the churchyard. I mean, I haven't got a major problem with the fact that he'd said that all the angels would die and one was left over, because obviously it's like all the, how many times have all the Daleks died? Yeah. Hang on, the door's gone.
Yeah. It's like the Time Lord, so yeah, I'm the only Time Lord left except for the Master. Ooh.
Well, like a lot of Moffat scripts, I mean, the story is good, but it doesn't hold up under a lot of examination.
Well, like, The Awakening doesn't hold up under a lot of examination.
Doesn't stop you enjoying it.
Well, then it's a time-honored tradition with Doctor Who.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm sure you could pick holes in lots of things, couldn't you? Mm-hmm.
Except Angels in Manhattan had so many holes.
Oh, yes.
I'd gloss over them.
Yeah, like, I gloss over the ones in Curse of the Black Spot, but for some reason that bothers Kirby.
Don't bring it up!
I noticed that as I was listening to the episode again. I thought, you know, I have the same reaction he does to Curse of the Black Spot. He gets wound up by those plot holes, but I don't care. But I completely hate the ones in The Angels Take Manhattan, but he doesn't really care.
I don't know. It's just a completely different feeling.
And that may be what it boils down to. You know, if you just kind of basically like the story, then you're willing to overlook the holes.
That's right. Yeah. And I really don't like... There's just way, way, way too many complete 180-degree weird... It's just this whole...
I know, Angels in Manhattan was awesome.
Yeah, are you talking about Angels? Yeah.
No. I liked Angels.
Well, then. My point.
I mean, the TV show Angel was good, but the episode Angels wasn't there.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. Continue. Can I continue?
Right,
I was trying to get a word in edgeways. Right. Amy is distracted by Rory and Grave. I mean, that should say
we're
the
back
Grave.
To that. Oh, okay.
Yes. Camera acting as POV. What does that mean?
Point of view.
All right. Camera acting as POV, with Rory covering
the
angel.
You're a cameraman, Adam. You should know that.
Yeah, don't use stupid abbreviations. It's cinematic trope that objects, people can appear without being seen or heard beforehand.
That's what I said. I said that with the helicopters they use it in movies. Exactly. Suddenly you hear the helicopter when you see it.
Okay. In terms of liberty, that something was kind of a joke.
In my opinion.
You've read it and you're reading it. I thought you can carry on reading then, Kirby. You carry on, Kirby. I'm stressed out because I've just got a text that is going to make me annoyed for the rest of the day. So you carry on reading.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
I'm not going to carry on. Go ahead.
Oh, for God's sake. Right. Which Moffat said in an interview was brought up by someone before in the past. They say Angel was broken and not strong enough to send her in time. Okay, fair enough, I think.
This is very strangely written, so it's hard to follow.
Yeah. But the angel, it's fair enough, the broken angel, because all the angels in the previous angel story weren't particularly well. That's why they were breaking.
I said it was broken, didn't I?
Okay, you did. Fine. That's fine. Okay. I accept. Right. An angel managed to survive, just like they did. And there was a cherub in present, so probably angel also. I don't think it was a mistake or chance Rory was sent back. He possibly could have been originally in present. Check out Knight and Doctor from DVD of Series 6 and online. I've seen these. They're really, really good. They're set in Series 6 and show that Doctor is an adventure with River between episodes, and it established Impossible Astronaut that they've been on many adventures post 200-year jump.
They also did well in the voting on Doctor Who magazine too, the Knight and the Doctor things.
Yeah. Angels in Blink were a small group, and if I remember correctly, implied to be from dying species. In Series 5, the angels in caverns were old and dying, and the angel on the ship brought it there to revive them. The angels were hurt to begin with, hence no time travel, and later had another source of energy and not needing time to time zap them. Fair enough. I also was wondering about Mel's in the past, and why not bring that in? It's possible that could still come later. Eggs, nest perhaps? Good point. Lots of very, very good points there. But I'm not going to accept that in the graveyard that River, the Doctor and Amy were not looking at that angel.
Yeah.
When it touched Rory, and especially when Amy walked at it, and like we always said, if it's being looked at, it's his stone. It cannot transport people until it's released from the quantum lock. So,
correct.
She shouldn't have been able to be transported back while
can I
were all looking
you,
at it.
Was this message written by Stephen Moffat?
Probably Sectos. No, I don't
have to understand.
I think his grasp of the English language is probably a little bit better than that, to be fair. But yes, but I'm really pleased that was sent in, because that's made some brilliant points and
done their research.
Yeah. excellently done. That's what we want to hear on this show. Arguments to the contrary. What do you mean you'll go?
We don't mind being disagreed with, because it gives us something to talk about.
Yes.
We never have anything to talk about.
Oh, no.
True.
Right. What else have we got here? I've got something from Derek Kennedy. Now, did everybody get to hear and see the rock Doctor Who theme that he sends a link to?
I had actually posted that on my Facebook wall like 6 months ago, but I just didn't post it on the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Yeah. Wow. Shame. Yeah.
But I did actually play it on the podcast, so you should have been able to hear it.
Yeah, anyway. I really, really enjoyed that. Whoever, Derek Kennedy, who sent it in, I really liked it.
Thanks, Derek, for that. Anyway, he writes,
very nice.
Hello everybody, emailing you from Canada.
Hello.
I'm a new listener to your podcast.
Hello.
But been watching Doctor Who since 2006. Addicted I am. My 5-year-old daughter watches with me now. Good bonding time.
I don't think the podcast has been in existence that long, has it?
I don't have any friends who watch the internet. I don't have any friends.
Doesn't have any friends.
Oh, sorry, there should be a comma in there.
I don't have any friends who watch.
So the internet blogs, reviews, and social casts are my only refuge. The Doctor Who in America special was great. It really showed the Doctor Who fandom invasion while the filming of the last episode.
Yeah, that was good. I managed to finally watch it. It was very good.
Oh, good. Yeah, I enjoyed it too.
Amazing. So, anyways, I thought this was a great episode. Was really happy to see the see Riversong back. Hope to see her as a companion, and the Doctor doing last minute beauty checks was good. They are really starting to elaborate on the Doctor and River's relationship, and especially love the way to the TARDIS crash landed through the time distortions from locking onto certain objects in the time period in the collector's room. I really thought it was a good way to end the story of the ponds, emotionally catching and thrilling at the same time. Though in the end of the show, it was a twist. It was intriguing and surprising. Though now, after the fact, I couldn't see them not having this happen the way they did, because otherwise it would have been a kind of a boring end. Definitely a fitting epic end to them. I thought that the part where Riversong had a broken wrist and that wasn't broken until the Doctor touched it. Then it was broken. You can see the blood on her hand.
Yeah.
Then it was broken, showing that because he and Amy read it, so it had to happen like he said. All right. Love the Statue of Liberty moving into being an angel. Thought the collector was a little insane. But a good additive for the cast. Another point, I believe, in your cast for Asylum of the Daleks, you mentioned why they could translate when the TARDIS was nowhere near them. They clear this up for Angels in Manhattan when Rory is translating the vase in River says the effect of the TARDIS sticks around. Oh, I can accept that. That's been said before in the RTD era. That's a good point.
Who brought that up again?
In conclusion, an overall good season. Oh, that's a misspelling. Series.
No. Got that right.
Absolutely hate the fact that I have to wait until Christmas for another episode, and then till spring.
We all do.
Are we sure it's going to be in the spring?
Yeah, there's nothing we can do about it.
I haven't heard any definite mentions of Doctor Who coming back in the spring. Has anybody?
No.
I did read something in Doctor Who magazine which said it would be back from next March or something like that.
Maybe they'll just cancel the series and forget about the 50th anniversary.
Anyway. But I guess that's
so likely.
But I guess that's all for suspense, and it does make you want to see it even more. Excellent podcast on the finally. And by the way, I apologise for the errors on my last email. Was in a hurry and didn't proof.
Neither did you this one either.
Proofread.
P.S. I have the Samsung Galaxy S3 and enjoy it much more than the iPhone, my friends have.
Just brag. I haven't got either.
Well, hang on. He says he enjoys it much more than the iPhones his friends have. Well, how can he... As he know that... they're his friends' phones, surely. So how does
he's probably played with his friends' phones.
Okay. Wow. Plus a larger screen. Sizes and everything, Derek. Sizes and everything. LOL. Per your comment on my last... Enjoy the show. Can't wait to do hear future.
What?
Enjoy the show. Can't wait to do hear future episodes. Derek Kennedy from Canada.
Have a new Mr. M.
Don't worry, Derek. Don't worry, Derek. Adam will learn to read one day.
Now, speaking of Ghostbusters.
Right, I'm sending it to you next week, Robert. That's it.
Speaking of Ghostbusters, I was at the Nashville Comic and Horror Festival over the weekend. Ernie Hudson was the guest of honor.
Ah, cool.
And of course, he has a Doctor Who connection via Torchwood Miracle Day.
Okay.
Oh, well put. Well put. Right.
Toxic spot.
I didn't talk to him or decide to pay him $30 for a autograph, but it was just interesting.
Why not?
Because I don't have $30. Good grief.
Yeah. Okay.
Wow. Right,
yeah. No. What I did buy, though, was an iPod Touch cover that looks like a TARDIS.
I thought you were going to say you bought an iPod Touch, and you don't have $30.
Yeah. No. I posted it on the Facebook group, a picture of it.
Cool.
I'll go find that.
Excellent.
It's homemade. Someone complained that it looks like rubbish, but it's... No. I like it.
Do you like it? That's the main thing. Now, I want to just end this stupid argument between iPhone and Galaxy. Both phones are very good. My mum has a Galaxy S. I have an iPhone. I prefer iPhones myself because all my Apple things are all integrated and all react with each other, and I find that really useful. So if I put an entry on my diary on my phone, that will then appear on my iPad and on my Mac. I have a large music collection which is already in iTunes, so there's no need for me to go to the Google thing, because then I'd have to rebuy them, wouldn't I? So technically it's just too much hassle to change over, apart from the fact I've got lots of films via iTunes. Like I say, the interactivity between my phone, my iPad and my computer, it's very, very easy.
You can convert them to any format anyway,
if you say so, but it'd be a very long process, would it not? But I say that it's a good phone. That Galaxy S is a good phone.
Are you going to get an iPhone 5?
Alicia has an iPhone 5 coming for Christmas. I'm quite happy with my iPhone 4S.
Don't tell her.
But you need new adapters for, and
you do. You don't need them, but if you want to.
I think that is absolutely stupid.
Well, calm down, Robert. Like, you don't need a new Robert. You don't need the new adapter. That's only if you have a dock or anything like that.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I've got a clock radio which has a dock for the current, well, the old ones.
Dock
for my iPod.
Now,
so I'd be peed off if I was getting a
thing. The bad thing about that is that Apple did promise that people would get this for free, and they're not going to. But if you've got, if you're going to be buying an iPhone or whatever for £500 or whatever, £25 on top of that is not that much. But it's a bit off that they don't provide you with the adapter. No, but
I'm thinking of those people who have bought sound systems over docks as well.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, I'm sure people will probably bring out their own adapters as well.
They will. You'll get an adapter probably that comes with future devices either way. But
I still think that's pretty poor.
It is off. I agree. But, you know, they like to adapt
get
things.
Money,
there's always
people.
There's always new connectors coming out for all sorts of
odds and their ends. New maps feature doesn't work.
Yet. It will do eventually.
Yet, precisely.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Let me interrupt to say have to go.
See, I'm sorry, Mary. It wasn't my fault you weren't able to hear.
Well, I was going to apologize for dominating the conversation, but
I wanted to. I was hoping to be able to play Ian's feedback, but the people started going off on tangents.
Well, I'll have to listen to it on the podcast.
Rubbish.
So I understand we're doing it next Monday, and we're doing the Partners in Crime.
Yeah, and we're doing the podcast on Monday as well.
On Monday, okay.
Okay.
All right, thanks.
Okay.
Bye, all.
Bye-bye. Bye. Yeah, as I was saying, what else can't come up on the screen? I'll just close that down. Oh, no, I won't. All good phones, but I prefer my Apple stuff. I wouldn't change.
I don't see the point.
This is the smartphone podcast.
No, I'm just saying I wouldn't change.
Not quite so.
Because I like my stuff. But I'm not going to say that Galaxy is a rubbish phone. Because I've looked at independent things online, and the iPhone 5 won by 1 point in an independent testing thing over the Galaxy S3. But that means they're so alike. They're so similar.
There's not much to split them. Yeah.
There's not, exactly. So they're both very, very good devices. I just prefer
so basically,
my iPhone.
People like you will go for the iPhone if they have Macs and iMacs and whatever. So that they could just...
More likely. More than
together.
Likely. Apple TV as well. I went around someone's house last night and they had Apple TV, and I thought before going there, what's the point? But they explained to me that all their devices, Apple devices, like their iPad or whatever, links wirelessly to the TV, and they can just play their videos, photos, go online with it via their iPads or whatever, and that's quite a useful, useful thing if you've got a load of stuff like that. But anyway, back to Doctor Who.
Are we talking about Doctor Who?
Well, I was trying.
Sorry,
to.
I fell asleep there during the discussion of smartphones.
Yeah.
Since I don't have a smartphone.
I
don't have a phone.
Oh, now you're talking over poor old Ian. That's your fault.
Sorry.
Where's my volume on this? So I'm just trying to find the volume button on the iPad.
Hello, 20 Megabyte Podcast. This is Ian Kirk. In The Awakening, Tegan went to visit a relative. They do this all the time in New Who, but it was the first time a companion had done this. This was meant to be a four-parter, but it was reduced to two parts. They had a robot in the TARDIS called Chameleon. A short scene was filmed with Tegan and Chameleon, but it was cut for time.
Pointlessly.
Chameleon was intended to be a replacement for
K-9,
but it was even less reliable, and they dropped the idea.
The guy died.
There was a smaller version of Malice on the wall of the TARDIS. The full-size version was supposed to be like that, buried up to its neck in the ground. We only saw its face. Doctor Who magazine reviewed this story when it was released on DVD and compared it to Thomas the Tank Engine. It was a good story, allowing for the low special effects budget. Bye for now.
Bye, Ian. Thank you. As ever. Yes.
Actually, speaking of, you know how he mentioned about Tegan's relative? She had a lot of her relatives in there. There was her Auntie Vanessa,
auntie,
who died.
Absolutely, yes.
And in Ark of Infinity, there was her cousin.
Yep.
And now we've got a grandfather and, what's the name?
Ndidi.
Did you enjoy the chance to go through a Fifth Doctor story?
Of course I enjoyed seeing a Fifth Doctor story.
Yeah, my favourite Doctor.
I enjoy Doctor Who no matter what, even if it is cursed with that bad plot.
Anyway, I've got to get charge my iPad up because I need to use it tonight, so I'm just going to plug that in. Right then, this next feature is a sort of a behind the scenes of the charts, because basically I haven't had time to compile them. So I'm going to basically talk about how they're compiled. Is that all right with you, or are you just going to fall asleep? Be quiet. Right then. I have up here, be quiet on the screen as I speak, the iTunes listing. When you type in Doctor Who on iTunes, it comes up, and you go to... I'll start again. Go to iTunes Store, you go search Doctor Who, and you come up, I should say, with the listings of various Doctor Who products, TV series. You can obviously download classic and current TV series. Not all of them, because I wanted to download The Awakening.
You know, this would be this is going to be interesting, because I'm sure that when I bring it up, it's going to be different with the US version.
Okay, we'll do that then.
Ooh,
okay. Shall I talk you through it? Where are you on the iTunes at the moment? Is it as quick as mine?
I just clicked. I'm in the iTunes store and I'm searching for Doctor Who.
Okay, so just search Doctor Who. I did it in lowercase, if that makes a difference.
I'm not doing that.
And then I'm going to click on podcast.
Okay, so we go down the bottom of the page, and it says podcast. There is another one that says podcast episodes. You don't want to do that, although it does list that Doctor Who, The Complete Guide to Everything, is number one in Doctor Who episodes, whatever that is. You click on podcast. See All, podcasts, see all, and then you get a great big list of Doctor Who podcasts. Some of them are not actual Doctor Who podcasts, so I don't know how they end up appearing on the feed, but there you go.
They've probably
the first,
got a mention of Doctor Who somewhere along the way.
The first one on my list is, it's all to do with the tagging on the thing, but the first one on my
all
list
the
is
the Doctor and Who,
Be quiet. The first one on my list, that will be in the tagging, is the Doctor Who podcast. So that would then make the Doctor Who podcast number one in the charts. If they've released an episode between the 1st and the 7th of October. So what, Kirby, is number the first one on your one?
Doctor Who Podshock.
Which is the second one on my one. Interesting.
See, Doctor, the Doctor Who podcast is the fourth on my list.
Okay, let's move on.
The podcast is the second on my list.
Let's go down, even though some of these podcasts are not actually out at the moment. So this isn't the actual proper listings, because it only, for me, it's only podcasts that are current that I use in the charts. We know that the first three on my list, which are Doctor Who podcast is number one, Podshock number two, Radio Free Scaro number three. Mm-hmm. Those three have actually had shows out this week, so that would be the correct listing. The fourth one on my thing is called Doctor Who Time Tales. Now, that isn't a current.
That's the second one on my list.
They haven't had a show out since the 23rd of January. The sixth one. Ooh, interesting. But that doesn't count. The fifth one, which is number four in the charts, could be Tin Dog.
But that doesn't count.
Why doesn't it count?
Just because you keep on saying that.
It does count, because it's it was released this week. They
See,
released
the fifth
show
one on my list is the Doctor Who audio drama something.
Audio dramas. That's okay. hasn't appeared on mine yet, but number five would be the DWO WhoCast. Oh, no, wouldn't they? Didn't have the release a show this week, so that wouldn't count then. So we're still on number four. What have you got for the fifth one on your list? Sixth one, sorry.
Tin Dog.
Right, okay. Doctor Who Audio Dramas is what the next one of mine. Though, of course, they don't count. They haven't had a show out since, well, a couple of weeks ago. Then it's the Doctor Who Pod Shop, which doesn't count because we already had them. That's the
and I've got something on here in between called Doctor Who Podcast Feed. From BrokenSea.com.
I haven't got that one yet. I've got DW Doctor Who Podcast. Again, they don't count. Not since 2007 they haven't had an episode out. Then the Flashing
there's
Blade.
There's two between Podshock and DW Doctor Who Podcast for me. There's the Oodcast and Doctor Who After Buzz TV something.
Okay. Well, Flashing Blade would then be number five, because that's the next one that's actually one. Then it's Doctor Who Commentaries. Don't think they've got anything out, because that's Blog to Who. That's six of the tenth. They have had one out. So there
we
go.
Yeah, they had one. They put one out.
So that'd be number six. The Oodcast would then be number seven. Luke Manning, the Doctor Who podcast, not out since 2007. Doesn't count. The next one is, you said the Doctor Who podcast feed. They haven't had a show out since August, so that wouldn't count. Impossible Podcast Science. They've changed their title. Science, Fantasy and Doctor Who Fan Commentaries, that's what it says. But they haven't had a show out, so that doesn't count. Not this week, anyway. Isn't that usual? Doctor for Impossible Podcasts not to have a show out. It's all gone quiet. Doctor Who Drama. again, they haven't even got anything on their feed, so what's it doing there, I do not know. Pharos Project will be the next one. So that will actually be an entry, because they've got a show out. What number are we at now? Seventh?
I have no idea, because you're way off now. Mine show.
Okay.
Show.
See, you should help me out with this compilation. GSPN, Doctor Who Fancast, again.
No, I think that yours should
last
count,
year.
Because you're UK-based.
Okay, we'll stick with that.
That's the most important part.
We'll stick with that. So number eight. Are we on number eight for the 11th Hour podcast? I'd like to see where we appear on yours, to be fair, Kirby. The TARDIS Tavern is then listed, but again, they haven't had a show out for about a month. Then it's the Memory Cheats, which I presume would be number nine, yes? Then it's another entry for Podshock, which we don't count, because I've already had one. Classic Doctor Who, which has not been out since 2007. The Omega Podcast.
No, 1989.
Be quiet.
Yeah,
The Omega Podcast, that would be number 10. Am I on the right numbering at the moment? No?
I don't know.
Well, 10 comes after 9, doesn't it?
On my list, we're number 31.
Okay, well, I'm talking about active podcasts. Adventures in Time, Space, and Music, didn't have a show out, but they would be next on the list. Minute Doctor Who Podcast is number 11, because that's the next one. And just after them, it's us at number 12.
Well, we're at number 27 in Australia.
That's improving, yeah.
No, I'm not counting all the ones in between, Reese. If you count all of them, including non-active feeds, we're 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8,
See,
nine,
I'd have to go into each one of those 20, to figure out if it's active or not. 19,
20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27 on mine. But take out all the ones that haven't got shows out this week and the ones that actually aren't releasing shows full stop. That leaves us at number 12. Okay. Mostly Harmless Cutaway then will be the next one. I'm not going to go on for this much longer. and that will be number 13. The podcast, No, not the Mind Probe. They haven't released since 2000.
No, not the Mind Probe.
Naked Scarf haven't had one out since August. Crunoid Podcast. They haven't had one out since last month. Radio Rassilon. Yay, had a show out this week. So they would then be number 14, 15, whatever. And so forth. And that's basically how I compiled the charts. But obviously, this we'd normally have 30, but I think that illustrates things. Sorry for any other podcasts that would normally have been in the top 30 this week that I haven't mentioned. But hopefully I'll have time to get proper. They don't appear to be on this listing. Can anybody on their iTunes listen find the Happiness Patrol? Sorry, the Ha! Penis Patrol, because I can't find it on mine anyway. It used to be appearing every week, but it's not appearing at all now.
Yeah.
I reckon they could well have taken out in their tags the words Doctor Who, which could obviously has a major
effect. Because they just put out another one.
It has a major effect on whether you get listed on iTunes under the terms Doctor Who or not, if you take
they
those
just put out another Happiness Patrol, did they?
Episode 100, I hear.
Not yet. I think that's in a couple of weeks.
I did get a message from Lady S, actually, and I've mentioned that, and she sent me a request.
Enough of the profanity?
No, eh?
Never mind.
Right, I think, I don't know if she sent it to me on Facebook. Let's have a look. Oh, yeah. Lady Soliloquy. How do you say that?
Soliloquy.
Lady Soliloquy. Yeah, what you just said. much easier to say Lady S. She says, afternoon, I was wondering if you had any clue about what you... Oh, yeah, because originally she asked me about doing a bump for her show. I did get it via email, but I don't know where she sent it. But it's basically she says about doing an audio bump. And then she followed up. I said, yes, that'd be fine. And then she followed up with, I was wondering if you had any clue how you want to do your bumps. I was hoping to get one from each podcaster to use on the next episode. I love the snark. What's the snark? She says, I love the snark in your show. One of the reasons I listen to it. Is that you that she's talking about? Is that a little nickname she's got for you, Robert?
I think she's talking about all of it.
Or Bruce?
What's the snark? Do I have to...
Snarky.
You can get cream for it.
Yeah, I think you probably can get cream for it, but I'm going to have to Google it. I don't know what snark is.
It means our attitude, our somewhat cynical attitude.
Yeah, yes, listeners, that's Kirby looking at Wikipedia.
No. No.
Combination of snide and remark.
Good grief.
Well, don't
I don't have to reference Wikipedia all the time.
Really? Uh-huh. That's the first I've heard of that. Very memorable moment on this show. That you to say that you don't have to reference Wikipedia all the time.
You don't have to be pedantic all the time either, you are.
He's going all quiet. And, I think we've upset him.
No, my phone is on the other side of the room, and I just heard the TARDIS, which means I got a text message.
You got so angry you threw your phone across the room, did you say?
No, it's just sitting on the other... Oh, okay, it's a... I just got a notification that a grade for one of my youngest daughter was a 95 out of 100 for... Studies 8, okay.
Excellent. Right, anyway. Excellent. Back to ladies, Lady S. So she likes the snark. One of the reasons she listens to the show, actually the main reason I listen to it. I'm looking forward to presenting your bumps. Right, so... Now, Reese. Reese.
Dalek bumps.
Your bumps.
I did actually say to her, we record on Monday this week, and I will chat to the others and hopefully record them then. What's the snark, by the way? And she said, snarky, like Owen from TW. Fun and sarcastic. I'm not sarcastic. How dare you?
Anyway, you're not. You are. The rest of us are.
All right, okay. Sorry, so if we could record them now, and she can lift them straight off the podcast.
It's the Audio Bump Podcast?
What, her podcast?
You're listening to the podcast.
Lady It's to do with, to do with what, hang on. I must have
what is it we need to say? Let us know.
That's what I said to her, but I think she wants it
You're
fairly quickly.
Typical lady soliloquy.
No.
That kind of stuff?
That's not, yeah, but not those precise words. I think it's to do with the audio dramas that they do.
Right, Tempus Temporis, is that it?
That's it! That's it, yes.
Say that again.
Tempus Temporis.
That's not exactly a podcast. That's a that's an audiobook, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's isn't it an audiobook she's
yeah.
Like a fan fiction that she's involved in.
Oh,
is
what,
that Lady
what
Silica
say?
Is a fan fiction author that has written one story of Doctor Who. Hang on, this is a bit about her from Conquered Cerberus. Remember she was there, she actually yes. did it. And she, it says, first guest announced, Lady her. If you ever
I was there too.
If you ever take part in any Doctor Who community, then chances are you have heard or seen the works of Lady Lady S.
Soliloquy.
She is an extremely talented artist, skilled in video making, writing, illustrating, and much, much more. Sounds a bit like me, actually. We are very proud. Were you snickering rat? Or did you just have a sniff? We're very proud to have her.
A sniff.
I bet you did. That's what she said.
Yeah.
We are very proud to have her as our first fan guest for Conquered Cerberus. Check out her bio below. Ooh. I'm just reading it. Oh, sorry, I'm supposed to read it out loud. I'm a genuine southern lady born and bred in the mundane world. I have a fantastic husband and my Mr. Master, three wonderful children, a dog who thinks she's a cat. In the Hooniverse, yeah. When I'm not at conventions, I spend the majority of my time making fan videos, writing, illustrating, and helping create and manage the Who fan pages on the Facebook. My website is... I could click on that, couldn't I? www.ladysoliloquy.net. Here we go.
Soliloquy.
All right, Lady S. blog, videos, gallery, books, conventions.
Yeah, if you'll remember, I had her record a bumper for us back when I went to Conquered Cerberus.
Ah, so it's your fault then.
Yes, it is.
Yes. Confused. Well, I was going to click on the said blog. And I was expecting to have some link to it. Must be for the
Tempus Temporis.
Ah, it must be for Tempus Temporis. Maybe they've got it's like a.
It says Tempus Temporis, the audio drama. So yeah. I'm not sure how a bumper is going to work with that.
Well, you could say something like, "Hi, this is Adam from the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast."
And I'm not going to say that. I'm not Adam.
And I implore you to listen to Tempus Temporis, the audio drama. Something like that. What do you reckon? It would have been good, actually, first time round, if you hadn't interrupted the blimmin' thing.
Well done, Kirby.
Right, I'll try that. And if it's wrong, she'll always tell me, won't she? Hi, this is Adam from the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. And I implore you to listen to the Tempus Temporis audio dramas.
Hey.
That was well worth a round of applause. Right then, who's next? Reese! You don't have to say those precise words, but you can say something on those lines. Go on then.
Oh, good. I was getting confused because I'm not you. So you'd like me to say, this is Reese Parton from the Who Is A Man podcast, and you're listening to the Tempus Temporis audio drama. Do enjoy it.
Yeah, something like that, but you mentioned the wrong podcast, but never mind. Right, Robert.
Hello, you're listening to the Tempus Temporis audio drama. I'm Robert Haynes from the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
And finally, Mr. Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
This is Kirby Bartlett Sloan of the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, and you need to listen to the Tempus Temporis audio drama.
Now, I'm glad I remember that. I would have been quite disappointed with myself if I'd forgotten to do that. But sounds like a very intriguing woman, doesn't she?
Yes. Hey. What's her name again?
Grief. Stop
flapping. Sorry.
Right.
What's her name again, Adam?
Lady S.
You're going to have an interesting time editing this.
Anyway, Doctor Who news. It's quite a lot of it, but lots of things. It's funny, the series ends, and those are news. Oh, by the way, just a reminder to everybody in Great Britain to vote on the National Television Awards for Doctor Who, as in Matt Smith, Karen Gillan, and Doctor Who itself. Because I'm fed up with things like Downton Abbey winning the best drama serial It's very
annoying. Okay. I like Downton Abbey.
So you're saying Downton Abbey's better than Doctor Who and deserves to win it more than Doctor Who, are you?
Misquote him.
Oh, that was lovely, Reece standing up for Robert. Oh, bless.
There was some news from Australia.
Did you
hear about one guy is trying to mount a campaign? Did you read that, Reece?
Yep.
You did?
He even tweeted at me.
Oh, really?
Mount a campaign for what?
Say what he said, Reece.
Well, basically, he saw that I was a massive Doctor Who fan, and he said, go and like the Facebook page to get Doctor Who to film Down Under in 2015.
Oh. Yes, there is something here about that.
Well, it sounds very much like they're going to do it anyway, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think much encouragement needs to be done.
No. Right, Daleks Invade UView. UK digital PVR producer UView have launched a new advert to promote their broadband content service, which enables purchasers to watch a variety of digital channels and catch up via the BBC iPlayer, ITV Player, 4OD and Demand 5. And then, of course, there's a Dalek on it.
PlayStation as well.
Yeah. As people round up, with the current co-stars departing, Matt Smith insists that he hasn't been tempted to hang up his bow tie anytime soon. There are absolutely things I'd like to do. I'd like to go to the States and do a film, but for the moment, I have more than enough to keep me busy, and it's work I love. I don't think there's any point in concerning yourself with what you might be doing when you... weren't doing this. This is an amazing, extraordinary job, and it would be madness, total madness, to be wishing it away when it's such a gift. And it says, with the departure of Arthur Darville and Karen Gillan, media attention now focuses upon Smith's next co-star, Jenna Louise Coleman. The actress has already made her mark on readers of The Sun, who, in spite of her yet to appear in the series as a sidekick to the Doctor, have voted her as the sexiest sidekick. Half of those participating in the poll
placed
the actress's character Oswin Oswald, who appeared in Asylum of the Daleks, as their favourite, with Gillan's Amy Pond coming in second with 30%. Stephen Moffat talks about her proper arrival at Christmas. Looking ahead to Doctor Who with the new companion, we'll be telling a very different story. You probably already know that from Jenna's surprise appearance at the beginning of the series. But there are lots more twists to come. He's never met a girl like this one.
There you go. Ooh, exactly what they said about Amy.
A new Doctor Who homeware range has been launched. It's like teapots and stuff with Daleks and things on them.
Tupperware in that as well. Dalek tea caddy, yes,
some chap with a beard has asked the question, is Doctor Who a religion?
Salt and pepper shaker.
Well, I put down as my religion on Facebook, Gallifrey or something like that, so...
Gallifreyan.
Australian MP wants Doctor Who film down under, and there he is, there's a video of him.
Oh no, yes. It's awkward.
It bears a striking resemblance to that bloke in Rose. You remember the bloke who...
Yes, there he is. There.
It's the Australian version.
Yeah.
It's Camille Kadoori's birthday today.
That's it.
Is it?
Oh, yeah. How old is she?
47.
Oh,
happy birthday, Jackie.
She's sort of slightly older than me then. Right then. Doctor Who dominated the listings. I'm 46, so she's 47.
That's what I mean. Oh, only gosh. Slightly.
Magic. Okay.
Magic. Oh, he's gone again. Right. Dominated the listings for iPlayer in September with over 8 million accessing the program at some point during the month. And that's online.
What's
amazing.
That on?
The iPlayer.
Okay. Someone coughed while you were saying that.
Extra dates for Sydney. Extra dates have been added to Doctor Who Symphonic Spectacular, taking place this December at the Sydney Opera House.
River Song and Brian Williams, sorry, Mark Williams, are going to be there. And they're going to host it.
Oh, and you're going to meet them, aren't you?
Hopefully, yes. I hope to get an interview
for the podcast.
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah.
The third and final part of the fan reimagining of Power of the Daleks is released online. Yeah. So I haven't seen any of those, but I did see a little glimpse of one of them, and it does look really, really good.
I saw the first one.
You did?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's it for news. It looked like there was a lot, but obviously not as much as I thought, so apologies for that. Has anybody heard any rumours or any, you know, gossip in relation to Doctor Who that hasn't been reported anywhere? No? Okay, right. I will mention that the deadline for my book cover artwork has passed. So basically what we're going to do is have a blank piece of paper with From Troy to Man by Adam Pearson on it, because clearly that's what everybody seems to think that the cover artwork should be. Thanks, everyone. Right, so moving on. So, why has everybody gone quiet? You're still there.
Yes.
Good. Hi. Right. We're going to do eBay for the first time in God knows how long. We're going to do eBay. So, the most expensive item listed on eBay this week is £2,500, and that is a Doctor Who original BBC costume prop for Pex. Do you remember Pex from the Paradise Towers story?
Yeah,
that's his costume. Nope. Nobody's bid against it. £2,500. And just underneath it is another interesting prop. There seems to be lots of these props there. Is the, from Resurrection of the Daleks, the Dalek helmet gun thing arrangement. £1,995. Surprise, surprise, no bids. And somebody has put on here for £999, Doctor Who Series 6 complete DVD. £999. Do you think they typed? Do you think they meant to type in 999?
Yes, probably.
Dull.
I suppose there's no bids against it, is there?
No, funny enough, not. No. Right, the item that's actually got bids against it, and therefore the most expensive item legitimately on eBay, is a Doctor Who Bally pinball table, full size, original, and very rare. And that's got £522 against it. And it's a courier-only surprise thing. Mm. Where is that? Is that?
So that'd be a lot of money.
Just see where it actually is. Probably in Great Britain, I would imagine. Can't see where it is. So, oh, yeah, it's in Market Harborough. What else we got here?
Is that the one with Sylvester McCoy on it?
Oh, God, I've just moved down the page now.
Sorry.
I can't see from the... Oh, good grief, I'll have a look. Yep, it's got Sylvester McCoy in it.
Yeah, I remember that one. I didn't play it, I've seen it.
The second item, number two, in the most expensive items with bids against it on eBay this week are... It's a very long title, isn't it? Rare Doctor Who 18-inch black interactive talking remote control Dalek sec in original box. What...
Just what? Got a message from Kirby saying my internet hiccuped. Have Adam bring me back in.
Great. I thought it went quiet.
Do you hiccuped before, Robert?
He only wants to come in so he can say goodbye.
Yeah.
Hello.
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 Hello. He's back. And front and side.
Yes, it hiccuped.
Oh, it's so
Robert, did it? Mine did it before us, huh?
Anyway,
now,
yes.
What were we talking about?
Oh, eBay.
eBay.
Oh,
never mind.
The rare Dalek set 18-inch figure is brand new, or it says very good condition. It's in its box. Doesn't say brand new though, and it's listed.
What Dalek is it?
Dalek sec, the 18-inch version. I've got the 18-inch non-Dalek sec Dalek, and that's £295. 14 bids against
Woo!
That.
Well, that's a lot of money.
Yeah. And bearing in mind it cost £80, yeah, when it was brand new. And the third item...
I've got a Death of the Daleks one.
Have you? The third item is... I have two, actually, for now. Is original Doctor Who screen-used Tetrap prop from Doctor Who. And...
Time and the Rani.
That has got... Yes, Time... It has got bids against it, and that's £259.98. So, Tom and the Rani being one of the worst Doctor Who stories ever, you know, actually gets interest in one of its props. So there we go. That's eBay.
That was eBay? Are you sure?
It was. And I can't think of anything else to say. Yeah, so that's it then. Thanks, everybody. And I've got to go and move the wife very soon to her next customer. Meantime, what are we talking about next week? It's Partners in Crime.
Yay.
Which I just watched again yesterday because I like it.
Which sort of illustrates us, really, but there you go. Yeah, so that'll be what we'll be doing next week. Look forward to it. Look forward to seeing you lot again. And I hope Reese will be there. Until then, goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
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 Goodbye. Goodbye.
Bye. Isn't that insane music?
Is an ABPV services production and is a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended. I did it!
I'll start again. Hi, this is Adam from the Tim Dead. I'll start that again. Hi, this is Adam from the Tempest. That's not from, not from Tempest Tour. This is your fault, Kirby. I got it right first time. Right.
What?
It's your turn.
Okay. Hello, this is.
Start again. Stop snickering over Robert's bit.
Hello, this is Robert from the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, and you're listening to the Tempest Temporum.
No, that was the wrong title, but never mind. I'm going to start again. Temporis. Yes. Tempest Temporis. Tempest Temporis.
What?
Tempest Temporis.
Temporis. Tempest Temporis. What?
Something like that.
He's telegrained.
Temporis. Tempus Temporis. T-E-M-P-O-R-I-S.
Bring it up on the screen, then you can figure it out.
Yeah. Oh, good point. What shall I... Tempus. T-E-M-P-U-S.
S.
Temporis. Temporum. Temporis. Temporis. T-E-M-P-O-R-I-S.
Tempus Temporis. Tempus Temporis.
Yay!
Do you want me to say it again then?
That would be good.
Hello, you're listening to Tempest Temporis audio drama. Now I'm Robin Hines from the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
And your microphone also moved, and it's hard to hear you.
Yes, it did.
Yes.
Bad luck, you have to start again now. But it was really good, apart from the fact that we couldn't hear it.
Bloody hell.